This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Can you use your campaign funds for dance lessons? Is that okay? Was that wrong? Should I not have done that? Nobody told me. I got a play ignorant on this one. It's an actual thing we'll talk about. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. It is St. Patrick's Day. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Maybe that's what Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was doing when she filed an FEC filing for dance lessons using her campaign funds. Maybe it was trying to learn the Irish jig. Hans von Spakovsky is with me right now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, senior legal fellow of the Heritage Foundation, former FEC commissioner, DOJ lawyer, and you can follow him on X at H. von Spakovsky. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing just great, Rich.
You and I were both on Newsmax yesterday morning, though, at different times. But I heard you were on there as I was in queue waiting to come on. So I thought, oh, man, it's been a while since we've had Hans on. So I texted Matt and I said, let's get him on. And you were gracious enough to join us today. And we got a lot to talk about. But before I get into all these federal judges, I just help me out here with this whole thing with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez dance lessons and her FEC filing.
Well, you know, what's funny about that was that there was actually a complaint filed against her with the House Ethics Commission saying that she had used the budget, the money that each House member gets for dance lessons, and that's a violation of the rules the House of Representatives set up. So she defended herself in an ex by saying, oh, well, you guys made a mistake. I didn't use my House budget for this. I made a filing with the FEC, so I used my campaign funds for this. Well, that doesn't do her any good because federal law has a very specific provision that says that candidates cannot use money that they raise for political campaign for personal use. So, for example, you can't use campaign funds to pay the mortgage on your house if you're running for Congress. And taking dance lessons also is obviously a personal use that has absolutely nothing to do with the political campaign. So she went from potentially violating just House ethics rules to actually violating federal law if, in fact, she used campaign funds to do it.
Amazing. That's that. And she thought she was being really, really smart using that excuse.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing. All right. So let's talk about, I mean, where do we begin, right? There's so much. These these temporary restraining orders, injunctions by these federal judges, which, as Justice Clarence Thomas pointed out a few years ago, as Justice Gorsuch pointed out, too, you know, they were not used in the Republic for like 150 years. I mean, these judges are out of control here. You're a legal expert. That's why I'm grateful you're on the show here. It seems to me, from a guy who's just looking at this from the sidelines, that all these federal judges are trying to do is audition for a seat on the Supreme Court if a Democrat ever becomes president.
Oh, I agree. They are acting far outside their authority. I mean, look, there are over 90 federal districts across the United States, and these federal judges are in those districts. So, for example, you know, the federal judge in Manhattan that issued a ruling against the payment out of money from USAID, his district, he doesn't cover the whole country. He only covers the District of Manhattan and that part of New York. Or, you know, there was another injunction issued by this very liberal federal judge in Northern California. His district only covers Northern California, and yet they are issuing nationwide injunctions, and they're doing it when the people who are suing them don't have standing to actually bring a claim. So the judges are ignoring the law. They're ignoring all the rules the Supreme Court has set out for standing, and they are acting like an imperial judiciary.
Amazing. It really is. It's amazing that we're at this moment in time. It's frustrating, though. It really is, because more injunctions were issued in February of 2025 alone, as you know, than in the first 3 years of the Biden administration.
Right. Right. And this is a real danger. It's a danger to our democratic system, because what's happened and what is happening is liberals, when they lose the presidency and when they lose the democratic election process by not having control of Congress, are now turning to the courts to get done what they couldn't get done through elections. And I can't think of anything that's more anti-democratic than that.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, it's the thing. For all these people who are screaming about a constitutional crisis, you literally have judges here who are, I mean, the president's the only person in government who's elected by all the people across the country. So he's literally the only person. And then you have a judge who's got a district, as you pointed out, who's got a certain, you know, geographic thing. And then he makes a ruling that then impacts the entire country. It's nuts. So can the Supreme Court rein these guys in, Hans? Because that's the other question I have for Hans von Spakovsky is the, you know, last week, the administration respectfully asking the high court, hey, listen, while you ponder all these really important questions like birthright citizenship, which I'll ask you about in a second, can you please rein in these federal district court judges?
Yes, they can, and they should. I mean, it's really important. And again, going back to one of the cases, you know, 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, a 5-4 majority of the court, unfortunately led by Chief Justice Roberts, refused to stop this Manhattan judge who was telling Trump and the government, hey, you have to pay out $2 billion, USAID does. And there was this dissent written by Justice Alito, and his dissent was just blistering. And he said he could not believe that a majority of the court refused to step in and stop a single judge from having the unchecked power to compel the government of the U.S. to pay out and probably lose $2 billion. He said, I am stunned. And so what's got to happen is the Supreme Court's got to step in, and unfortunately, like I said, the three liberals were joined by Roberts and Amy Coney Barrett, of all people. She joined the Chief Justice on this, which was a huge mistake and a huge error by her.
Well, somebody defending her said, well, it's she's still going to get another crack at it, that this just sends it back or something. I mean, is there any defense? Because I don't see it. Is there any defense to her actions on this?
Well, look, it wasn't, they're right that this wasn't a final action. What the majority was saying, well, we're going to let it go back down to the lower court and play out there. But But what Alito was saying, and the other justices, Thomas, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, what they were saying was that this was such an extraordinary breach of the president's authority that the court should have stepped in now to stop it and not wait for it to go down the road. And I think Alito was absolutely right about that.
Yeah, I think his dissent was excellent, Hans. I really do. But, you know, that's the Jersey guy in him. So, you know, it's what you'd expect. Let me ask you, since we keep hearing about this constitutional crisis, am I crazy or do I remember Biden also being in contempt of court on multiple occasions when federal judges were ordering him to give new leases for drilling on federal lands and his administration was just ignoring them?
That's right. Or the U.S. Supreme Court told him, you don't have the power to suddenly forgive billions of dollars in student loans. And what did Biden say? I'm going to do it anyway.
Right. I remember that. Yes.
Right. Right. Or remember the Supreme Court. Remember, they issued an opinion in the cases against Harvard and University of North Carolina saying universities can no longer discriminate on the basis of race in college admissions. And Joe Biden gave a speech in which he essentially told universities to ignore the Supreme Court's ruling. And he told his Justice Department not to enforce what the Supreme Court said and not to file any lawsuits against any of these universities. He said, let them continue to discriminate.
Amazing stuff. I just didn't hear the words constitutional crisis back then when all this was happening, Hans. And now today it's become everybody's favorite St. Patrick's Day drinking game because of all the people in the media who are doing it. So then let's talk about this notion of the latest accusation here. And I'm grateful that you're with us today, Hans von Spakovsky from the Heritage Foundation. The idea that the president, you know, he's got this power under this Alien Act from, you know, the late 1700s, which just because it's an old law doesn't mean it's an invalid law. Congress could revoke it, but it hasn't. President's using that authority, he's invoked that authority. He orders people to carry out a mission. I mean, it's so ludicrous to think that a federal district court judge can order the commander in chief, you know, he orders a plane, the plane's over international waters to return home. Like, what if that plane was going to drop a bomb on a terrorist house and a federal district court judge found out about it and didn't like it and ordered the plane to be returned home to the United States of America? I mean, it's absolutely chaotic to think that we could ever live in a system like that.
Well, that is true. And the constitutional crisis is being caused not by the president, but by federal judges like this judge. And look, the law under which the president acted, the Alien Enemies Act, it's been used on multiple occasions in the past by presidents. Supreme Court has basically said, look, this gives the president extraordinary power to remove enemy aliens from the U.S. And the president exactly followed what you have to do in the statute. Look, it's not a long statute. It's very easy. And what he had to do was issue a proclamation, which he did, declaring that this Venezuelan gang is a terrorist organization and it's allied with the Venezuelan government. It's basically become a narco-terrorist state. And therefore, he's acting under that law. By the way, there's something in this I've never seen before. You know how normally the government, if they want to get an arrest warrant for you, they have to go to a court to get it?
Mm-hmm.
Not under this statute. If the president declares somebody an enemy alien, he can order the U.S. Marshals Service to go pick them up and remove them from the country. And all the marshal needs is, and this is from straight from the statute, the warrant of the president.
That's it.
So that's it. The president can issue a warrant for the removal of the alien. He doesn't have to go to a court to get it.
Wow, that's fascinating. And I'm glad you're here to talk about this because everybody's acting like these judges are the check on the executive when it comes to this. This is not something I've heard, but that's why you're brilliant and that's why you're on the show, Hans, obviously, for that reason. So why are more people not mentioning that and bringing that up?
Well, because I bet you none of them have actually done what I did this morning was I pulled the statute. I pulled the law, and I read through it, and then I started looking at some of the Supreme Court cases that have been on it. And by the way, I mean, one of the cases is from 1948, where the court said, remember, 1948, right? World War II is over.
Right.
and yet the court said that the president ordering the removal of a German alien who was in the U.S. under that statute was perfectly okay, and the courts couldn't question his doing it. The war was over, and yet 3 years later, the president had the power under this statute to remove this German alien.
Amazing stuff. All right, before I let you go then, because I know you're busy and it's St. Patrick's Day, the other question that I had here regarding all this is the auto pen and the signature. Now, I'm assuming that, you know, if the president didn't have hands and couldn't sign something, that it would still be legit if he used an auto pen. So I'm not questioning the validity of that. But obviously, if a president didn't have knowledge of it, then that would be a serious federal crime. But just for clarification purposes, is there anything in the Constitution that says that a pardon has to be issued in some sort of ink?
No. Okay. A president doesn't even have to be in writing. If the president got up at a press conference and say, I hereby pardon Hans von Spakovsky, it would be effective. And look, it would have been nice if he'd signed this stuff himself, but keep this in mind. A president has thousands of political appointees, about 4,000 political appointees. Every single one of them has to have a commission signed by the president throughout the federal government. Does anybody think he signs every single one of those? No, they use an auto pen to sign the commissions for the people he politically appoints. That doesn't somehow not make them valid. Yeah, it would be one thing if people acted without his permission or knowledge. That would be a problem. But the fact that he tells somebody, I'm going to pardon you, and he tells his people, use the auto pen to sign the pardon, that's just not a problem.
Not a problem. But it would be a problem, though, if somebody did it without the president's knowledge. That would be bad,
yes.
Right?
I mean, yes.
We would all agree on that would be bad.
Right.
Yeah.
But like I said, it doesn't even have to be in writing.
I didn't know that. That's amazing. So I hope if something ever happens to you that you do get a pardon at the podium. That would be kind of cool. I mean, if nothing else.
It would be.
Not that I imagine you're going to be a federal fugitive at any point, Hans, but just, you know, of the off chance it happens, I'd love for it to be announced at the White House podium if you got your pardon. So follow him on X at H. Von Spakovsky, senior legal fellow at the Edwin R. Meese III Center for Legal and Judicial Studies at the Heritage Foundation. Great stuff, my friend. Thanks for joining me today.
Right. Thanks for having me.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Good stuff. All right, Emmons Roofing and Siding. Listen, they are your go-to contractors for your home, and you need to make sure that you use Emmons for everything with your home, because they're the best. They really are. They're the best out there. That's why I've been using them for over 10 years in two different houses. First of all, Emmons is going to get the job done the right way, and that's key, all right? Because a lot of contractors out there, some will take your deposit, you'll never see them again, they'll start a job, they'll get a better offer, they'll leave you in the dust. Emmons will get the job done. Secondly, Matt and Stephanie have become really good friends of mine. They understand that, you know, times are tough. They've got a son, the family, you know, they get it. 10% off inflation relief discount for each and every one of my listeners. 10% off. Now, if you're wondering what it means to trust some body or some company, well, just look to the fact that I've used them for over 10 years in two different houses. I don't think you get better than that when it comes to trust. 10 years, two different houses. That's what I've done with Emmons Roofing and Siding, and more projects to come with them. I really appreciate the great work that Emmons does, and I know you will as well. They serve Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. Your home will not only look better from the curb, it will be stronger and able to withstand the elements. Beautiful, beautiful job that they do. Lifetime warranty on the roof. They even do bathroom remodeling, you know. And we used them to remodel the bathroom in our old house, and they did a phenomenal job with that. EmmonsRoofing.com, EmmonsRoofing.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. but I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
With us today. I appreciate you being here. It's a busy one, that's for sure. We got a lot to chat about. We're already hearing screams of constitutional crisis everywhere. So I'm at St. Patrick's Day. I'll say to you, if you hear the words, drink. And you'll probably be bombed by about, I don't know, 4:35 at this rate. Glad you're here on X at Rich Zeoli. Bill D'Agostino is Senior Research Analyst at the Media Research Center. You can follow him on X at @band_Bill. And he joins us every week to talk about the craziest stuff that we're hearing in the corporate mainstream legacy media. Bill, happy St. Patrick's Day, my friend. How you doing?
Yeah, happy St. Patty's Day. Good. Doing well. How you doing, Rich?
As a D'Agostino, as an Italian, do you have any Irish blood in you? Any Irish relatives? Anything like that?
I do, actually. Yeah, I have a bit. I've got the Italian last name, but that's all my dad's side. My mom is basically a British Isles mutt. She's got, got Irish, Welsh, English, you name it.
There you go. That's good. Yeah, my wife's Irish, so you know we'll have a little. I made a little shepherd's pie today. Technically cottage pie because it doesn't have lamb in it, but that's all right. You know, it's okay. It'll still
work. You gotta do what you gotta do.
It's, you know, times are tough right now. All right, let's talk about some of the craziness from over the weekend and today, of course. While I have you, actually, I wanted to mention, too, you guys over at the Media Research Center and newsbusters.org do a great job of staying on top of this. You yourself personally do a fantastic job of staying on top of this. Your work on creating videos and everything else that you do, how do you do it? Like, I'm just curious about that because I'm seeing more and more of this now of people like yourself who are talented and know how to do videos pushing content out on platforms like X, for example, that used to really just be words. And now, you know, we're kind of exploding into this video era. So how do you do it?
I mean, so much of it is just the media in their own words. I think it's kind of a condemnation of the media that just showing them unfiltered, just talking for, say, 20, 30 seconds is enough of an argument against what they have to say, mm-hmm. that you don't have to add any of your own commentary. But that's really what it is. I mean, I think that the reason any of these videos work is because so few people bother to listen to these folks anymore, right? And so so the point of these videos, I guess, is kind of as like a check-in, like, hey, yeah, they're still crazy. Here's what they're talking about this week. It's really as simple as that, man. It's just about subjecting yourself to this long enough to notice a trend, really.
All right, so let's talk about some of the stuff that we have from over the last couple of days, and there's been a lot of it, and there'll probably be more of it today, first of all. But just this morning, Whoopi Goldberg with the ultimate threat. So now, I'm worried, Bill D'Agostino. I don't know about you, but I'm terrified here.
Yeah, it's scary stuff. Apparently, they're coming for all of us. I don't want to spoil it too much, but yeah, I mean, you really only need like the first 20 seconds of this to get at the meat of what she's saying.
That's good because honestly, listening to more than 20 seconds of Karen Johnson is painful. So we'll try to hit the 20 second mark here. Cut 31.
Keep your eyes open, y'all, because if they can just come up and take somebody because they've made a decision that you are supposed to be that person. any one of us
yeah.
could find ourselves being deported to some country.
Don't give them any ideas, there. Girl.
Well, listen, you know, it is very clear to me that if we don't continue to say we want. Listen, I understand you want to clean out all the old, the bad stuff. I get it. But why do you now have access to my personal information? I get what the things you're trying to do. I don't understand why you're taking my stuff, my person, not my personally, but each and every one of you.
And your constitutional
and your constitutional rights of free speech, which, you know, everybody says, you know, you never let us say anything. We're, you know, conservatives. And in fact, you're doing the same thing you are accusing everyone else of doing. And you're doing it in a way we've never seen before, because very few people have kept you from speaking out. But this is where we are now. Well, we're right here now. And you see, I beat
the music. That's enough, Bill. I can't take it. I can't take it. Help me out.
I mean, yeah, we started off with deportations, right? And then we got into censorship, which I'm not sure she knows what that is. I guess deportations are censorship. Entirely sure. But yeah, I mean, the argument of, look, if they're able to deport violent gang members from illegal alien gangs, then what's to stop them from deporting you? That's basically the same as saying, oh, OK, so you're fine with the police going after criminals. But yeah. What's to stop the police from arresting you as well? And it's like, well, I haven't committed a crime. So, right. Good. Right. Like, if you were born here, you're not getting deported.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, well, you know, if the cops come for that bank robber, that means they're going to come for you next. Well, why?
Right.
I didn't rob a bank. Well, that's just how it works. I don't think it does, actually. I really don't think that's how it works. But it's the fear mongering, right? I mean, they gotta go on there every day and they gotta fear monger, and that's what it really comes down to. Is they're very that's their specialty, and they're getting so cringy. But speaking of cringe, this is this your cringe compilation right now of the media
yeah.
worshiping Elon as a messiah? You did this.
Yeah, yeah, I brought back the term cringe compilation in the email. I haven't heard anybody use that term in a few years, so maybe I'm dating myself now. But yeah, I mean that's basically what I do, right? Is cringe compilations just
sure.
by another name. But yeah, this was a really fun one to make. I thought I remembered how they talked about Elon, but even I was surprised. Some of this stuff is like nauseating. It's incredible.
Well, let's take a listen to the cringe compilation. Well done. I remember when they loved this man. It was just seems like so long ago. Take a listen.
And I would argue that the new Jesus Christ of our era are Steve Jobs and Elon Musk. And it's important to have heroes.
The 47-year-old engineer has been called the real-life Tony Stark, better known as Iron Man.
Elon Musk, a.k.a. real-life Iron Man.
The guy is brilliant.
He is a genius. And at least for now, the world is better off having Elon Musk in it than not.
Elon Musk is one of the most interesting people in America. He's in the world and, I guess, in the universe.
Elon Musk is doing things that may revolutionize transportation and climate change.
When somebody as staggeringly rich and staggeringly intelligent as Elon Musk talks, people listen.
Has there ever been a car salesman like Elon Musk?
Elon Musk is beyond a car salesman. I mean, he's more like a hero for a lot of folks.
Just today, we were given a glimpse of something of a miracle at sea, or as Elon Musk calls it, Tuesday.
Let's talk about SpaceX.
Okay, the launch this morning was glorious.
Speaking of wonderful, out of this world, incredible images from the first all-civilian orbit around Earth. A huge win for Elon Musk.
It's an amazing development that's going on. You got to give a lot of credit to Elon Musk. Elon Musk, he deserves a lot of credit.
Tesla founder Elon Musk says he knows the biggest threat to humanity, and he has a plan.
An immigrant to this country cemented his status as a leader in science and technology whose name may indeed belong alongside those of Edison and Jobs. Put another way, Elon Musk today showed the world how it's done.
Wow. Wow, Bill, that was so long ago, all of like a matter of a year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, one of those clips was from 2022. Actually, it was the first one. Scott Galloway, who, by the way, now the one who compared him to Jesus Christ, that he is now going around like suffering from a violent case of Elon derangement syndrome. He was talking about imprisoning Doge employees. He has called Elon all manner of things that I can't repeat on this show, and said he wants to fight him. Like, just insanity, right? So the way these people turn on a dime the second you oppose the liberal orthodoxy is insane, because that's what it is, right? It's the fact that he bought Twitter, turned it into X, and then campaigned aggressively for Donald Trump. And so now, I mean, Trump was Hitler, so he's like super Hitler.
Right. And that's the other thing, too, about this, which is amazing, is that you've got a guy in there who they loved him for the electric car. Now they're all literally selling their electric cars. Like, I'm sure you saw Arizona Senator Mark Kelly, who's like, I got me a gas guzzler here. I'm just waiting for the Democrats to come out and pass a law that says by 2035, everyone has to drive a gas powered vehicle just to stick it to Elon Musk.
Diesel.
No.
More than 15 miles per gallon, and you're getting fined by the federal government. Absolutely. It's great, man. I mean, who would have thought that all we needed to do to beat climate change was turn Elon Musk right wing? It's awesome. I didn't know it was that simple. But okay, we can stop talking about climate change now. Thank you, Elon.
And how quickly they abandoned it. In fact, to that point, let's cue up cut number 27 here. This is Senator Mark Kelly showing off his gas-guzzling Chevy Tahoe. Out. Look, I'm all for it, but, you know, it's just funny how abandoned the climate change hysteria, right, when it just no longer fits their narrative. These people are such frauds. Cut 27.
All right, here I am with my new ride, Chevy, good old Chevy Tahoe. Here in Washington, D.C. Got one of these in Tucson as well. This one was made by Union Labor, United Auto Workers in Arlington, Texas. Always good to buy union cars. Incredibly reliable. And I'm looking forward to driving this for many, many years.
It's always so cute. It's always so cute when these like aged members of Congress are like, yeah, here's my new ride, fellow kids. Right. And he's standing so far away from it, too. It's like he's afraid of it. Right. He probably hasn't been near a gas powered car in so long that he's just like, yeah, here it is. It's 20 feet that way. Check it out.
Yeah, exactly. Bill D'Agostino is with me from the Media Research Center. All right. Scott Jennings, he's doing a great job over at CNN. He really is. And I mean, he may be the only reason why CNN is still on the air, literally, because it's just he keeps making news for them by just saying things that we're all saying. But the difference is we're not saying them on CNN. It's not so much that what he's saying is that, you know, original in the context of the world of right-wing or conservative media, I should say. But the fact that it's on CNN and the dumbfounded looks on a lot of their faces when he says this, and then these clips wind up going viral, is probably the only reason why CNN continues to exist, really. I mean, he deserves a medal for saving this network. So here's cut 33.
What do you see is the dynamic going on here? Is it generational? Why are Jeffries and Schumer on such different pages?
Well, because, first of all, I just want to say I'm grateful for Chuck Schumer today. He helped defeat a racist Jim Crow filibuster in the Senate. And to stand up against the racist Jim Crow filibuster tactics was a moment of pure courage. And I just think he should be lauded by anybody in any party for that. That's number one. Number two.
It's a deep cut. Let me just explain to people at home.
I'm just saying.
When there was a Democratic push against the filibuster, people in the Democratic Party were saying it was a racist era, Jim Crow era. Oh.
And it was
tactic, the filibuster. So he's being cheap.
But he saved us from the Democrats in the House, laying off every single veteran in the federal government. Chuck Schumer, working with Donald Trump, saved us from that.
So I think he deserves a lot of credit this morning.
Every veteran would have been laid off.
I mean, the point, Bill, right? Because we heard 5 minutes ago that the filibuster was racist. So it's hard to keep track of the consistency of the inconsistency of the left. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, what's the old joke? If it weren't for double standards, they'd have no standards at all. Right.
And,
yeah, I mean, Scott, you put it perfectly, though. Scott is basically like the avatar of the right wing viewer on these shows. Right. Because the frustration of watching CNN and MSNBC, and believe me, I'm familiar with that frustration, is you just want to grab somebody by the lapels at a certain point and say, are you kidding me? Like, what? How can you be saying this? What about X, Y, Z, etc.? Like, what you're saying is completely wrong. And Scott is finally the one who's there to actually make that point. And so, yeah, it's not like he's not like some groundbreaking political philosopher. But what he is sharp. He's very willing to throw down with people. And he's always got one of those retorts in his back pocket, right? He's very practiced at this. And the way he always does it with a smile on his face, I think just gets so under their skin. I mean, you see some of the guests on some of these panels. It wasn't as bad in that clip we just watched, but sometimes these people just like they're staring at him with just death in their eyes. It's crazy.
Who's the guy? Who was the one last week? I can't think of his name right now. Now it's like Teray or something like that, right? You know what I'm talking about?
I'm gonna embarrass myself. I don't remember who you're talking about.
It's gonna come to me after the interview ends. But he just had this look on his face, like he almost as if like Scott just spoke Mandarin Chinese to him or something like this. Like he just couldn't keep up with what he was saying. This just posted a short time ago, and this is now again CNN. Abby Cornish here going on with everybody's favorite words today for the drinking game regarding constitutional. I'll say the C word here. So let's take a listen to this now. This Matt, this is one I texted you earlier today. Take a listen.
Hang on. We can't actually play that. Yeah, we have Bill on the PC with the audio.
Can you just play the audio of it without the video?
No, we can't play any audio. It's video or nothing right now.
No, it's video or nothing. Okay. All right. No problem.
Okay. So here's my guess then. If we're talking the drinking game, if it's the longer standing drinking game, then it's constitutional crisis. If it's the brand new drinking game, then is it due process?
Sorry, sir. You have to go back to the other one. It's constitutional crisis.
It is. Okay.
Either way, it's the perfect day for it. I mean, am I right? All right. Last clip then for you, Bill D'Agostino, right. While we have you. Joy Reid. I didn't know she was still around. I thought she was put in journalist internment camp after she got fired from MSNBC. But apparently she's still around. Is that the case?
Yeah, she's kind of around. In fact, I read something from Radar. So take it, you know, salt to taste, right? But and citing anonymous MSNBC insiders. So who knows? This might be nothing, but it's fun enough to share and just, you know, be vigilant about whether this is accurate or not. But supposedly she was fired because she tried to prepare a summit between a bunch of the other like radical anchors to resist the network, ostensibly trying to move slightly back from the falling off the edge of the crazy left wing cliff, right? Like they're trying to moderate a little bit. And she led a peaceful resistance movement, I guess, within the halls of MSNBC against that. And so now she's threatening to expose where all the bodies are buried. So she's been going around doing a lot. And yeah, so I guess this clip is unrelated to that, but just a fun little not yet verified tidbit, but I'll be keeping my ear to the ground on that. And if it ends up being true, I'll share more on this show.
Oh, I have no doubt that it'll end up being true. And I have no doubt that you'll share it on the show. All right, take a watch.
I mean, and as somebody who's, you know, my parents, my father was from the Congo and my mother was from Guyana. And so they were the immigrants who came here on purpose and they got the rude awakening. My mother got the rude awakening, like, ooh, it's racist here. that's weird. For some reason, she went,
why did you tell me? Why don't you school?
Yeah, she's like, painful. Tell me this is the land of opportunity, but not for me. It's so weird. But I am familiar.
I mean, that's really painful, Bill. I'm sorry, but it is. I'm going to miss her. What's the game plan at MSNBC? What is their strategy, just out of curiosity, for surviving?
Well, I mean, they still have a bit of a captive audience, which is the people that tune in daily for their latest excuse to hate Trump. I mean, that's kind of been their business model. And they've always been eating CNN's lunch on that because CNN tries to moderate a little bit. They don't do a great job of moderating, but they try. And so it's that, and it's also the personalities, right? The personalities are a big selling point. There are a lot of people that actually tune into MSNBC to watch Rachel Maddow. There's basically nobody tuning into CNN to watch Anderson Cooper. So it's you know, they've found their niche. It's kind of a shrinking niche, and a lot of the people on the left are demoralized, so there's fewer tuning in, but that's basically how they plan to survive. They're hoping that keeps them floating. And we'll see. I mean, at least for right now, they're staying afloat, but I don't know.
I don't know, my man. Well, good job putting together the All Hail Elon Musk compilation. We're going to be using that a lot on the show, and I know it's already gone viral, so well done. Have a great rest of your day, my friend. Follow Bill on X at @band_Bill. Thanks, my friend.
Always a pleasure. Take it easy, Rich.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, so as we continue along here, the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. If you have not made your appointment yet to see a dentist, you got to do it. They say to visit a dentist twice a year. It's that important to do so, VanariaDental.com. Coming up, is the economy getting better? You bet it is. And where are we feeling it the most? Some good news straight ahead.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Be a white and over. No, never, no more.
Oh, yeah. All right. So, we got a lot to chat about today, no doubt about it. We got a lot to discuss, and I'm glad you're here. We're going to get into the economy, the economic news that's out there today. Also, to a mob boss. Former killer got elected in New Jersey. This is the least Jersey story I've heard in a long time. But pretty amazing about that, too. I'll get into that with you in the 4 o'clock hour. And Trump's support is at its highest. At highest it's ever been, which is killing the left. I mean, they can't deal with it right now. They can't deal with it. They just don't know what to do. It's just killing them. So here's what I would suggest to you. I would suggest to you that you sit back and relax and enjoy the outrage and the hysteria. See, the problem for them is they don't know what to do. They don't have a leader. They don't have a leader. They're trying. I mean, Josh Shapiro goes on Bill Maher over the weekend and says, "No, listen, I'm very proud to be Jewish, and that's not why I wasn't picked to be vice president." It was, actually. It really was. It was absolutely that fact. Chuck Schumer has a book out on anti-Semitism. Do you know that they've just delayed the book tour for Senator Chuck Schumer's book on anti-Semitism because there are so many anti-Semitic people in the Democratic Party? I mean, not just disagreeing on policy between Israel and Palestine, but like Palestine openly hating the Jews to the point that they're showing up everywhere and protesting and occupying buildings and locking a janitor in the closet at Columbia, that Chuck Schumer has now postponed his book tour. So that's what we're talking about here. And I think when the Pennsylvania governor was not picked, first of all, thank God he wasn't. I think we can all agree on that. Thank God, because it would have helped Kamala Harris. I still don't think she would have won, but you never know in politics. So let's just be happy that she picked the Midwestern doofus who put tampons in the boys' bathroom because it made everything better. But thinking in terms of 2028, is the Democrat Party going to be ready to nominate a Jewish guy? Not this Democrat Party. No way. No chance. There's no chance. Just look at them. Look at how they're acting. Look at the hysteria and how they accuse Israel of committing genocide and just their open disdain for the Jewish people. No, not in this party. If Josh Shapiro was smart, he'd leave the Democrat Party, but he's not going to do that either because there's too many policies he just doesn't align with in the Democrat Party. And for example, or the Republican Party, I mean, the guy is, out there, he put out a cheesy, cringy video last week about how he won't back down on abortion with the Top Gun music playing in the background. And you got Gavin Newsom doing his dumb podcast. And again, I'm going to say it again. It's becoming a daily thing now. To conservatives, please, please stop going on Gavin Newsom's podcast. Don't normalize this guy. If you're conservative, if you're MAGA, just stop. Okay. His goal here is that in 6 months, everybody forgets about all the kooky, loony things he did in the past and gives the guy a new fresh start as a moderate face and a moderate voice. And he's not, and you know he's not. So stop it. Here's the clip, though, that I mentioned before. This is Abby Cornish on CNN. If you have your favorite beverage, get ready, kids. Take a listen.
Oopsie, too late.
Yesterday, my colleague Mark Caputo basically reported that after the judge's order, Stephen Miller basically went and said, like, is there a way we can potentially challenge this? And that's why they essentially ignored it and just let the flight go on because okay. They want this. And they said, a senior White House official told my colleague Mark Caputo that they want this to go all the way to the Supreme Court. The fact that they are defying or ignoring these challenges is intentional. They want these things to ascend up to the Supreme Court.
And this is one of those things that people end up talking about constitutional crisis. I will try not to kick off Monday with that term, but I want to play for you the White.
You see that? Constitutional crisis. It's a constitutional crisis. Drink. I hope you're having a good St. Patrick's Day today. I hope you're having fun, because you got it in this crazy world. Otherwise, you'll lose your mind. But no, I mean, this is the problem, right? The issue for them right now is that they don't know what to do. They don't know who's in charge, and they don't know who to look to get them out of this mess. And you're just going to get into a giant ego game right now. You know, Donald Trump was able to emerge in 2015 and 2016 because there was not a Republican who was the heir apparent. There was Jeb, exclamation mark, Jeb. But he was weak, and Trump came in as an outsider and was able to defeat him in the establishment. I've already told you the problem for Democrats, why they can't do that, is that their process controls who becomes their nominee. With superdelegates, they don't take kindly to outsiders coming in and doing a hostile takeover of their party. They won't let it happen. They tried to stop Trump in 2015 and 2016, and they tried to stop him again in 2024. But the Republican Party is more grassroots in that sense, whereas the Democrat Party is completely controlled by superdelegates. And so for that reason, then, you understand that it's going to be somebody who is part of the Democrat establishment. And who do they have right now? They don't. And that's what we're talking about right now. That's the real problem that Democrats have, is that they just don't have anyone. And then the people that they do have are freaking nuts. Well, they are. They're crazy. And you know that I'm right when I say that to you. They're crazy people. They're crazy. So that's what we're talking about at this moment in time. And I also believe, I believe this from the bottom of my heart, that they have no interest in becoming uncrazy, because they are listening to themselves. There's no room for them to listen to somebody from the outside to come in and say, have you guys heard yourselves lately or seen yourselves in the mirror? When some have tried, like James Carville, what do? They yell, go stay in your lane, boomer. All right, zip it, boomer. And they start mocking the guy. So, you know, good. I mean, fine with me. You know, fine with me. Let them do it. Do it all they want. It works. I'm okay with it. You're not going to get me complaining. That's for damn sure. All right. Big 5 o'clock hour straight ahead for you. 30 minutes of nonstop talk. We're coming right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.